Hebrews chapter 11. Anybody have an idea what I'm preaching about tonight? Faith. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Another translation says it like this: faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things we can't see yet. One more says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and proof of what we do not see. Then in verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Does anybody want to please God? We have to have faith to please the Lord. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. So tonight I'm going to talk about building faith. Building faith. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Why don't you put your hands together? Let's just love the Lord right now. Let's give him praise and glory. Lord. Lord, have your way in this place. Have your way in our lives. Let your will be done in this church. God, I pray the will of God for this city. I pray your will for this county. I pray your will for Southwest Missouri. Let your will be done in every life, Lord. Let your power move. Let your glory fall, Lord. I pray that you would send your angels to minister, Lord, that the Holy Ghost would work. Move through us, I pray, Lord. Use us to be a witness. Lord, I pray that your power would fill this area. I pray, God, that you would reach for hearts. Lord, people that haven't lived for you, but I pray you'd begin stirring their heart. I pray that you would prepare them for the work that you have for them to do. Lord, let there be a hunger. Let there be a desire after the things of God. Let there be a desperation for the things of God, Lord. We've got to have more of you. We've got to have more of your touch. We've got to have more of your power. I've got to have more of your spirit, Lord. I pray that you would work in us to set us on fire. Lord, I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to be lukewarm, but God, let me be on fire. Let there be a fire shut up in my bones. Let the power of the Holy Ghost work and move through me. Let there be a desire, Lord, to do the work that you've called us to do, to answer your call, to be what you've designed for us to be. I pray, Lord, that you would minister in every ministry of this church. I pray that you would give us a new passion. I pray that you would give us a new burden. I pray that you would give us a new calling. Help us, Lord, to go to the next level. I pray that you would work and move through every young person, move through every adult. God bless our children. I pray that you would help them to have a revelation of this truth, where they can tell their friends about it, where they can be a witness about it, where they can teach Bible studies about it. Lord, I pray that you let there be a breakthrough. Let there be a breakthrough in this city. Let there be a breakthrough in this church. Let there be a breakthrough in our leaders. Let there be a breakthrough in our ministers. Lord, I pray that you would work and move. We're not content to just stay the same way we've always been. But Lord, I pray that you would work. I pray that you would set us on fire. I pray that you would give us a boldness. I pray that you would work through us to reach this city. Amen. Some of you wonder, what in the world are we doing? I don't know. I don't know. I just feel a burden getting a hold of me right now. I'm not content just to have an ordinary average service, but we need a move of God in this house. We need a move of God in this place. Lord, I don't want to leave here how I came, but change me. Lord, change my way of thinking. Change my heart. Change my mind, Lord. Help me to see things the way you want me to see them. Lord, I pray that you would work and move in us here tonight. Somebody grab somebody's hand and just join together with them right now. And I want you to pray that God would use that brother, that God would use that sister. Lord, move through them, work through them, minister through them. Lord, I pray that you would help them to see they have a calling. They have a purpose. You have a plan for them. Lord, they're not here by accident. They're not here by accident, but God, you've placed them here for such a time as this. For such a time as this, Lord, you have a purpose for their life. You have a purpose for their family. You have a purpose for this church, Lord. Help us to find that purpose, Lord, to do your will, to do your work. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I like to do just a little surprise attack on the enemy. He just thought we were going to just sit down and have a little nice little Bible study tonight, but I believe God wants to do something in our life. I believe God wants to work. Amen. I believe God wants to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost tonight. Would that be all right? Amen. Somebody could get delivered tonight. Would that be okay? Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, whatever you want to do, God, I pray that you would do it. I pray that you would do it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, just one more time. Would you lift your voice? Come on, would you lift your voice? Would you lift your heart? Would you magnify Jesus? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Shana mondoto bo sokutama. Ile bari elarabba shata yarararabba sato kororiato shayarabasi. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated tonight. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Amen. Amen. Brother Daniel, I want you to say, praise the Lord. That's pretty good. Say it again.
Praise the Lord.
Say it like you mean it.
Amen.
Brother Johnson, I want you to say hallelujah like you really mean it.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Doesn't that feel good? Amen. Brother Zach, say glory to God.
Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. Woo. Brother Tim, I don't know what comes to your mind, but give God praise back there just a second. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that your will be done in this service. I pray that your work be accomplished. We give you glory, Lord. We give you praise. We give you thanks in this house. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sharabandi oto soria tabahaya ki. Come on, if you need a miracle, tonight would be a good night to just reach out and take hold of it. Come on, it'd be a good time to just say, by faith, I receive it. By faith, I claim it in Jesus' name. Lord, you've already paid for it. You've already accomplished it. You've already paid the price. And Lord, I've come to collect what you promised me in your word. In Jesus' name, let it be so. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, let's see if I can get through this maybe now. I don't know. Some of y'all nervous. Thought you'd just come and relax tonight and take it easy. I'm not talking about anybody specific. I'm just saying, I think I think there's some spirits that are nervous too. Amen. There's an old saying that holds truth today, I think even more than ever before. We are what we eat. We are what we eat. How many of you have ever experienced that? If you're eating healthy and all of that, we feel better. We are more healthy. But when we eat bad, we don't feel good. We get tired easy. We get sick easier. And a lot of times people think they can just go and eat, you know, however they want, junk and sweets and processed food with no consequences. But it makes a difference. It makes a difference. And maybe not right away, but eventually it will. We are what we eat. And it's the same thing in our mind and in our spirit. If we're consuming a regular diet of fear, of worry, of anxiety, of discouragement, those things have a way of reproducing themselves in our life. And so we've got to pay attention to what we're feeding. Don't feed things that we don't want to grow. If we're constantly consumed with how we were wronged, or all the mistakes and failures of our past, or our trouble, our trials, and all those things, if that's the kind of thoughts that we're feeding, that's what's going to grow in our life. We are what we eat, what we think about, what we speak. I had a reminder on my calendar today. It's actually today. I've got an anniversary, and thank you so much. I appreciate that. You're wondering what anniversary is this? It's the 1-year anniversary of my whole food plant-based diet. Isn't that awesome? I mean, just some of you thinking, poor guy. And you know what? I would have never chosen this way of life, but after 1 year, there's actually parts of it I really enjoy. I really enjoy. I don't crave things that you think that I'd miss. I don't even crave them anymore. So I love salads and vegetables and beans and lentils and all kinds of potatoes and sweet potatoes and oats and rice and fruit. And man. And losing weight has been great. I feel amazing, and thank the Lord. So, you know, there's all these diets, special diets out there. There's a no sugar diet for those people that have diabetes. Oh, incidentally, that's part of what I'm on too, yeah. There's a gluten-free diet for those that have gluten allergies. There's low carb diets. Is anybody on the seafood diet? Yeah, the one where you just eat whatever you see, yeah. Well, I'm not a nutritionist tonight. I'm not a doctor. But as a pastor, I want this church to go on a very strict diet. It's going to be no more fear, no more doubt, no more worry, no bitterness, no insecurity, come on, no shame, no defeat. No regret. Those things aren't allowed in our diet anymore. And our new diet is going to be restricted to faith food. We're going to feed our faith. We're going to feed our faith. Come on, let's feed things like hope and expectation. And what we feed is going to get stronger. What about feeding those promises that God has spoke to us in our past, those dreams that he's given us? Let's feed what we want to become: positive, hopeful, confident, secure. We are what we eat. So we've got to have a steady diet of faith, of the promises of God, of things that he's spoken to our life or our family, our church. If we want to build faith, we've got to make sure we're feeding ourselves the right things. You see, we build faith by looking unto Jesus. We build faith by looking unto Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. That's where our faith originates from. And that's where it's perfected, in him. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. And so what are we looking at tonight? Are we looking unto Jesus, or are we looking at everything else in life? Our faith grows weak when we keep our eyes on the storm. When all we can see is the impossible situation, our faith is going to suffer. But if we'll look to Jesus, our faith will be strengthened. Could it be that this generation misses out on a lot that God wants to do because we have been so blessed? And he's given us houses to live in and cars to drive, and he's blessed us with jobs and financial favor, and we live in the greatest nation of the world, and we enjoy so many wonderful benefits. We're not praying and having to operate by faith just to find out where our next meal comes from. We've had so many wonderful medical advances that we're not really desperate for a miracle. But I believe there is a movement in these last days where people who are, they're hungry to experience everything that God has for us. Amen. And I believe the saints of God are no longer content to just be comfortable, but there is a yearning in our soul for something more. There is a hunger. We want to see it. We want to experience the things of the Spirit of God. We want to see the supernatural happen. I believe there's a desire in this church. I don't want to just be an ordinary church, but I want to be a place where the Spirit of God moves. I want to be a place where miracles happen. We want to be a place where people come and they're set free from sin and darkness. Paul wrote to Corinth about how he relied on the Spirit of God, reading 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you, he says, in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Does anybody have that same desire tonight? That our faith not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That old song keeps coming back to me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I know there's a lot of negative things to look at. Amen. We all go through storms. We all have hard days and frustrating times and disappointments, but we can't get our eyes off the Lord. And I tell you, we're people of faith tonight. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen. Come on, somebody. I know it's hard to do. But in the midst of the storm, if we can keep our eyes on Jesus, if we can keep on praising him, and we don't see the miracle yet, and we don't see any way through, but I'm still looking unto Jesus. That's how we build faith. Somebody say, he's the author and the finisher of my faith. How do we build faith? Number two, by hearing God's word. Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God's word has to be louder to us than all of our fears. Faith is built when God's word becomes louder than our feelings. Feelings are crazy things. We might not feel like worshiping. You ever been there? We might not feel like coming to church. You ever been there? We might not feel like praying. praying. We might not feel like living for God, but we can't go on feelings. God's word has to become louder than our feelings. And we have to hear the word of God so loud that it drowns out the circumstances around us. All of that noise, all of that doubt, all of that fear, all the voices of the enemy. God, help us to love your word. Help us to read it. Help us to study it. Amen. Help us to hide it in our heart. The enemy can be very convincing. He's a liar and he's a good one. And if we're not reading the word of God, if we don't keep it fresh in our heart, we are missing a key weapon in this fight with the enemy. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. A soldier would never go into battle without their sword. That would be crazy. But how many Christians today are not in the word? They don't read the word. They don't talk about the word. They don't study the word. They don't memorize the word. And when the enemy attacks, they don't have a weapon to fight back with. Faith is built by hearing God's word. Amen. Why is it that the enemy will do whatever he can to get people to miss church? Because he knows hearing the word of God builds faith. So if he can prevent that, it may be, you know, it may be a vacation or it may be a family event, maybe working overtime or something like that. But if he can keep us from making it to the house of God, from hearing the preaching of God's word, our faith is going to suffer. And once we've missed one service, it's like I said, once you know, the more you miss church, the less you miss church. The more you miss church, the less you miss church. Faith is built by hearing God's word, the preaching of God's word, the teaching of the word, reading the word, quoting the word. Next time you're feeling down, I challenge you. Quote every scripture you know. If you're just feeling depressed, just start quoting every scripture you know. If you don't know any scriptures, well, start memorizing some. And read them over and over and over until they're like second nature. We build faith by hearing God's word. Third, faith is built by obedience. Everybody say obedience. Well, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I should be able to do what I want. I know what's best for me. That way of thinking keeps this generation from letting God build their faith. James chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, and hath not works, can faith save him? That's a good scripture right there. Can faith save him? There's got to be some works that go along with it. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? If we want to build our faith, we've got to put it to work. Through obedience, we do what God says to do. We act on what God says in his word. Obedience turns belief into action. It's not enough just to believe, because the devils, they believe and they tremble, but we build our faith by obedience. We are a doer of the word. And sometimes I think God's waiting to see, will we obey him? Will we surrender to him? Will we completely submit ourselves to his will in our life? Maybe what God wants to do is sometimes it doesn't make sense to us. But when we do it anyway, that's when our faith makes room for a miracle. Amen. I've come to encourage somebody. If he's told you something to do, if he's given you direction, if he's given you a purpose, we need to make it happen. And when we do, obedience to what God's told us to do, it builds faith. How many know today that faith is built through testing? Through testing. Well, why does it have to be that way, God? It works. Pressure doesn't have to destroy faith. Instead, we need to let pressure build our faith. James 1 and 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Divers temptations. That's various trials, troubles of all kinds. Count it all joy, James? What are you talking about? Going on in verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Can I just preach to myself here, and maybe one or two of y'all here tonight? Would that be okay? We are in the in-between. We are in the in-between. God is doing something. He's working through a time of testing. We're not at the start of this trial, but we haven't seen the end of it yet. I'm preaching to myself and maybe one or two more. We're not at the beginning. We've been going through this a little while, but we can't quite see the end yet. And right now, we can't quite figure out all the plan that God has for us. And in this season, God is building something. He is preparing us. He is molding us and shaping us and developing us. And God's got something in mind. And what we're going through right now, it's getting us ready for that. Don't miss what God is trying to build. Don't you give up before it's finished. Count it all joy when we're tested, because there's something here that God is building. The trial of our faith, it's more precious than gold, Peter says. Fire tests and purifies gold. It refines it. God is up to something good. If you're going through the fire, God's up to something good. Turn to somebody, tell them, hey, God's up to something good. What you're going through, God's building something. Amen. The test we're in, it's building our faith. Number five. Prayer. Prayer builds faith. What kind of prayer? Jude 1 and 20. But ye, beloved, be building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. Romans 8, 26 talks about this. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When we're praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, we don't know everything that we're praying about. Sometimes we may have kind of a general understanding, I'm praying about this need or that situation or that person or whatever, but we really don't know everything we're praying because we don't know what to pray. There's times that I've had situations and it's so overwhelming and I do not know what to pray. But I can pray in the Spirit because God knows, He knows what needs to be prayed. And even though we don't understand all the ins and outs of everything that's happening and what we're speaking and praying, the Spirit of God is making intercession for us and using our body, using our tongue and our voice to pray. Have we prayed today? Have we prayed today? Have we prayed in the Spirit? If not, our faith is likely struggling. We need to build up our faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I've come to encourage us here tonight. No doubt, I believe there's sincere and faithful people here that you pray. You do pray. You seek God. You want the will of God. But I want to tell you this. We need to make sure we're praying in the Holy Ghost. If that's not something we do often, I want to encourage you to change that. Learn to pray in the Spirit. Your prayer life will blast off to an entirely new dimension. It will build your faith. Practice it every day. Pray in the Holy Ghost. God's Word promises it will build your faith. Number six, how can we build our faith? By speaking what God says. By speaking what God says. There's power in what we speak. There's power in what we speak. Studies have shown and documented the power of our words. One experiment, it took cooked rice and it divided it into two separate containers. One container was labeled with a positive phrase. It was something like, "Thank you, rice." Okay? And the other was labeled with a negative phrase. It was something like, "Stupid rice." Okay? Something positive, something negative. And then these two containers were placed in a common area, and every time someone goes by, they are to say to the one container with encouragement from a heart of gratitude and thankfulness, "Thank you. You're awesome. You're wonderful. You're beautiful." But to the other container, they're to speak from a place of anger and frustration, "Stupid rice. You're ugly. I hate you." This is a real experiment, folks. It was literally observed that the "thank you" rice, it maintained a white color, a sweet aroma, but the "stupid rice" developed a bad odor and it grew mold. What we speak has a powerful effect on the things in our life. Whether we're talking to rice or some situation that we're going through, or talking to our spouse, to our children, what about the words we speak to ourselves in the mirror? Come on, are we building ourselves up or are we tearing us down? Our words are powerful. Faith has a language. Just as doubt and fear have a language, faith has a language. And if we want to build faith, we've got to learn to speak the language of faith. If we can't speak faith, it would be better for us to just shut our mouth and not say anything at all. Come on, I believe that tonight. If we're about to speak something negative or fearful or degrading or depressing, it'd be better for us to just cover our mouth and not even let those words come out, because what we speak has power in it. Amen. When people declare, "Well, I'll never have that victory," or "I'll never get out of debt," or "I'll never be able to overcome that habit," there's power in that. Don't speak things like that. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." We've got to learn to speak things that are encouraging, that are lifting up, that are resting upon our faith. Amen. "Well, Pastor, I can't speak it if it's not the truth." Well, speak it by faith. God is able. God is a miracle worker. God's word is true. We are going to see an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. God's word promises it. There are going to be miracles and signs and wonders. God's word speaks it. I'm going to speak something by faith today. I'm not going to speak negativity. I'm not going to speak doubt. I'm not going to speak those things of fear. Maybe we're fresh out of faith language right now. We don't know what to speak. Well, get in the word of God. Start to declare what God has promised. You need to get 5 or 10 scriptures that declare God's promise over the situation you're going through right now. I tell you, our generation, we are more blessed than ever. Just a few types on your phone, you can get a list of 45 scriptures that deal with if you've got a toe ache or seriously. I mean, whatever you're going through, you can find scriptures just like that. It'll pull it up for you. You don't even have to go figure them out yourself. You got it right there. Memorize those things. Speak them over your situation. Years ago, I went through a real time of stress and pressure, this was even before we came here to pastor. But basically, the enemy was just—he was running all through my mind and telling me I was going to lose it and go crazy. You ever been there? If you haven't, I want to tell you it's an experience. And I didn't know what to speak. I didn't know what to say. But thank God for His Word. Thank God for His Word. And I put together a list of declarations based on the truth of God's Word. And when I was feeling like I just couldn't go on anymore, like I just couldn't make it, I had those on my phone, and I'd just start reading those declarations. And it built my faith. And you might have to do that 10 or 15 times a day. That's okay. But start speaking what God speaks. Speak His word and watch your faith start to build. Amen. Come on tonight. Don't talk just about the mountain you're facing, but speak God's promises over that mountain. Don't talk about just all the health issues you've got going on. Amen. Declare the word of God over your body. Don't just complain about how far from God your backslidden loved ones are. Lift up your voice and start to declare with faith the word of God over them. We might need to get all by ourselves somewhere and just shout the word of God so loud that it drowns out that voice of fear and that voice of unbelief. Whatever it takes, if we want to build our faith, we've got to speak the language of faith. We've got to speak what God speaks. Praise the Lord. Amen. And somebody needs to hear this one. Faith is built one step at a time. We want God to pick us up out of our situation and put us down miles away from our troubles. But faith is built one step at a time. How do you know that? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, one step at a time. We walk by faith. But God, I want to see the whole way forward. I want to know how this is going to end up in the end. Where am I going to be at the end of this journey, Lord? But God hasn't given us that information. He just gives us one step at a time. One step at a time. And He says, walk by faith. Take one more step. Let me bring you a little further along. That's it. Keep walking by faith. And that's how we build faith, by taking one step at a time. When we step out in faith, not knowing exactly how everything's going to turn out, but we take that first step, and then God shows us another step to take. And now we've learned by now that, well, God made it through. He brought me through that last step, and so I'm going to go on a little further. And God keeps us, and God provides, and God blesses, and then God opens a door, and God brings us through, and we go through another trial. But step by step, we're walking by faith. Don't stop walking. Don't quit walking with the Lord. Don't stop walking by faith. It's one step at a time, but I'm coming through this. It's one step at a time, but I'm going to make it. Faith is not always a leap of faith. Sometimes it's just one step, and that's all we know to do, and that's all we can get. I just see one more step, but I'm going to take it by faith, knowing that when I take that step, God's going to give me another one. And if God kept me in the last step, He's going to keep me in the next step. I'm building my faith step by step. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me? Romans 4:20 talks about the faith of Abraham. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Faith is built when we give glory to God. Have you ever praised the Lord for something He hadn't done yet? If not, you need to try it. It's powerful. It's powerful. It creates faith. It creates faith. Amen. God, I praise You for what You're doing in this city. I praise You for the revival that we are seeing. I praise You, Lord, for what You're doing behind the scenes. I give You glory, Lord, for the lives You're already dealing with. You're already drawing them. Your Spirit is already drawing them. They're on the way. They're not here yet, but God, You're doing it. I know You're working behind the scenes. I know You're making a way where there seems to be no way. I'm going to build my faith by giving glory to God and praise. Amen. Somebody needs to have an atmosphere of praise. praise that you create in your situation, in that trial, in that circumstance. There's been enough negativity. There's been enough doubt and fear and unbelief. You need to start praising God. Put it to work. Come on, stand on the word of God and say, I'm gonna make a difference in the atmosphere by worshiping and praising God through this. I've heard Brother Jack Cunningham preach about different levels of faith. All levels of faith are not equal. If you look through the word of God, you'll find different miracles, and you'll see there were different levels of faith. Now, I don't know about you, but whatever level I'm on, I want to go to the next level of faith today. I want to see greater miracles, greater works of God, greater revival. I want to see greater open doors, greater answers to prayer. So the Bible talks about some of these levels of faith. There's, and you can go search this up, but there's no faith. That's a level of faith, no faith. Storm was about to sink the ship. Disciples were scared. They were terrified. But Jesus was asleep on the pillow. They woke him up. He told the storm, he said, "Peace be still." Reading in Mark chapter 4, verse 40, "And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Then there's faithless. John chapter 20, verse 27. "Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Don't be faithless. Stop doubting and believe. Then there's several times that there were those who had little faith. Now, none of these sound like what I want to have, okay? No faith, faithless, little faith. What about full of faith? Now we're talking. Acts chapter 6, verse 8, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great works and miracles among the people." He was full of faith. Then there's great faith. Great faith. The centurion asked Jesus to heal his servant. Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." And the centurion said, "No, you don't even have to do that. I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. Just speak the word and my servant would be healed." The centurion understood an authority. He said, "I've got servants and soldiers and I tell them what to do and they do it. Just speak the word." Reading in Matthew 8:10, "When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel." And the centurion servant, he was healed at that same hour. What about the measure of faith? Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, he said, "For I say, through the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Whatever level we're at with faith tonight, we want to build faith. So I'm preaching to increase somebody's faith. If you'll take this to heart, if you'll look to Jesus, if you'll be hearing God's word, if you'll be obeying his word, if you'll allow that testing to come in your life, if you'll be praying in the Holy Ghost, if you'll be speaking what God says, if you'll just take it one step at a time, you will build faith. If you will give God glory and give God praise, even in the middle of your storm, whatever level we're on, let's get up to that next level. Let's see what God wants to do in the rest of this year for this church. Amen. I preached, a week and a half ago, "We have not because we ask not." Put your faith to work when you pray. Start asking for big things. Start asking for miracles that are bigger than what we understand. This is not something we can do with human ability, but we're going to believe God for the miracle. Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Right where you are right now, would you call on the name of the Lord? Would we, come on, can we reach for God and what he's wanting to do in this house in the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Lord, I believe you're taking us somewhere. We're walking by faith. It's one step at a time. I pray that you'd help us to build faith, Lord. I pray that you would let your word come alive in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to take this to heart, Lord. I pray that you would help us to speak faith, help us to declare faith, help us to pray in the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray that you would help our minds to wrap around this subject, Lord, to realize you've got more for us than what we've seen, than what we've experienced. There's a greater level of faith. Lord, I want to see it happen. Build our faith, Lord.